Well, we're coming up here too as a new year. We're, you know, just started into this the last month of this year. God, we think about, you know, how God moves and works. God doesn't necessarily as operates in time like we think of time. Yet, concerning us, God does work in time, having to do with us. But, I mean, God, eternity doesn't have a clock, per se, like we would think of. Yet, God has established in the earth. When God established the earth, he established times, and he operates in those areas. I mean, God went through the children of Israel, and he set up a calendar. He set a calendar up for them, an operation. And how, in dealing with him and worship and different things, were established by God and set up times of things. And so God does, you know, we come up and from years to year, things that God does. God hasn't specifically said to me or told me any major things concerning this year coming up and things, yet there's things within me I know. We're stepping into this new year. The Lord spoke to me this morning because, see, sometimes God does things and not necessarily a time enters where we think like the new year will just this, or then the switch gets turned on to this or turned on to that. The Lord spoke to me this morning while we were worshiping here. The Lord spoke to me and said to me, he said, this morning you're going to begin to step into a greater glory. This morning we're stepping into a greater glory. This year coming is about a greater glory in the church. We need to understand, we need more of the manifestation of the glory of God is needed. And I know, like, from year to year, it seems like I have stepped in here the last few years, have stepped into a greater glory. But it is for the church in general, stepping into a glory, a greater glory we're moving into. It's one of the things is operating it by faith. I mean, you can sit this morning and say, well, we'll see what happens. You can go there that way. You can believe that, you know, I don't know if the pastor heard from God or not. I've heard people say things. People can want that in your mind. I know when the Lord speaks to me and he told me to say it, and we're not doing that to just to show off something. As the Lord said, we're stepping in, and we're stepping into, he said, it's starting this Sunday, we're going to step into something. See, lots of times we need to understand this. We want to step into things, but we have to arrive at a certain point sometime to step into the next step. Many times people, you know, we see from a scriptural standpoint, and sometimes God shows us what's at the top of the stairs. And what people do is try to go to the top of the stairs from the bottom right to the top. And it doesn't work that way. It goes in steps. God takes you from glory to glory to get you to a spot. He takes you from one area of knowledge into another area of knowledge to take you up to arrive at that spot. I used to wonder why, you know, God, because when I first got born again, God showed me the end of my ministry. He showed it to me. And I often thought, because at first that sort of confused me, because I thought, you know, I'll just sort of get there. And you walk there, you're going along for years and you aren't going there. And you say, why did God show me it? There's a goal that you're shooting at. You need to understand, if you don't have a goal, you don't have a future to shoot at, and your faith is just one of these day-to-day things. Now, you know, we walk by faith day-to-day and we follow God, you know, and people talk this stuff as saying, well, you know, we're just living day by day. You know, you can't live well like that. You know, you take, I've been in cultures where people are very poor and they live from day to day. They're just trying to get food from day to day. You know, their life is very limited. And you as a Christian, your life is very limited. If you don't see the future down the road, you need to see the future down the road. You need to see, be able to see down the road, because that's where your goal is set to go. And if you don't have a goal, what you're heading for, where are you heading for? Well, we're just trying to get there till Jesus comes back. Well, my words, jump off a building. You get there quick, go right to heaven. that's all it is. But there's things, as God shows people, and you need to be able to see ahead. And there's one thing is about to finish a course, you're always going to have to know more than you did at the start of the course. You're going to have to do it. You know, it's just like I used to do years ago, and you can tell I don't do it anymore. I used to do long distance running. I'd run long distances and stuff. I'd do that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you can't run well short distances, it's a good chance you're not going to do well on a long distance. But you sit and work yourself and you train yourself to work in distances of things to accomplish certain things and goals. I had certain goals that I wanted to reach to be able to do. I wanted to be able to reach out a long distance to be able to hit it in a goal to run to a certain place. So I had to learn things along the way about how to run. Most people, they don't like running and things because they don't know how to run. Most people don't know what to do to run. They just think, you know, it's just putting your foot in one foot in front of the other. You either do it faster or slower, and that's running, and that isn't at all. You have to learn how to pace. You have to learn how to breathe. You have to learn a lot of things you have to do. You can do a lot of things to expend energy that you don't need to expend and wear yourself out. So if you're going to run a long distance, you don't want to burn all your energy up doing things you don't need to be doing. Well, and spiritually, it's the same way. It's the same way spiritually. You have to develop and grow and learn things as we're at a shot to reach a goal. There's a goal that we're after. Hallelujah. It's number one of the goals is set, like for me now, is there's a move of God that I want to, and I realize the church is going to have to bring this thing into the earth. God wants to do it, but He needs cooperation with people. God always uses people. You look in the Bible, God doesn't do stuff without people. This, don't ever, anybody ever preaches you and tell you God doesn't need us. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth ever preached by the devil through the mouth of men, to get people to go sit down and not do anything and let things pass by, and people say, well, I guess it was God's will that nothing happened. I done read the Bible. I can see God's will is to reveal His glory in the earth. He wants to. So what I do is I want to find out how I can cooperate with Him to reveal glory into this earth. I want to find out, what's my place? How do I do, and what am I supposed to do so the glory of God can be revealed in the earth? We've been talking about gifts of the Spirit, which we're going to do is continue in this area. Because really, the gifts of the Spirit are part of the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth. God reveals His glory to people. It's one of the things is we need to understand. We need manifestations of spirits. If we're going to reach the world, and we're going to reach the world, we need more than nice talk. The Church of America today is a talk church. And that's where its weakness is, in its talk. Now, faith has a voice, which is wonderful. But faith is more than talk. Faith is a way to live. It's not a way to just talk. It's not saying, well, I believe on Jesus. Well, act like it. If you ain't acting like it, you're blowing wind. That's all it is. Talk is of no value without some kind of performance. And this is why it's so important. The church world today, we need to come back. The Bible talks about Christians having frivolous talk and stuff. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be frivolous concerning our talk. Why? Because so many people say things, and we just, even religiously. We religiously, people do it all the time. They have all these religious cliches that they say that mean nothing. They think, oh, well, that just makes it sound good. You know, I sound really good. It's what my voice can perform or do. What is the outcome of it? Is it just talk? If my voice can actually change my life by speaking the right things and enacting on those things, my voice can be the key to a change in my life. If what I say doesn't change my life, don't bother saying it. It's not really any value. It's wind blowing. We don't need more wind. What we need is manifestations of the glory. If preaching was enough to reach people, I want to know what Jesus was doing in the book of Acts. I can't quite figure that out. If preaching was not enough to reach people in the book of Acts, it's not enough today. God wants demonstration. God wants manifestations of His glory. He wants to reveal things that people get to see that Jesus is alive, not hear that He's alive. You can tell anybody you want Jesus is alive. If there ain't some kind of manifestation, as far as they're concerned, well, prove it. Prove it that Jesus is alive. Prove it. Is He alive? What do you have in your life that can prove that Jesus is alive? Hallelujah. You know, this funniest thing, I mean, we could sit down as most Christians never even go, people call themselves Christians, born again, never even go to church. Well, we know this. I mean, the Bible says they can prove one of the things is, you know, the Bible says, we know we pass from death on into life because we love the brethren. They don't even love the brethren. They don't even have that in their life for somebody else to see. That they, you know, we're Christians and we don't go to church and we want somebody else to become a Christian. Now, whoever heard anything so stupid in your life? It don't even affect your life. Why on earth would it affect somebody else? It means nothing to you. And to say these things, that we need to understand, this is what the world's been looking at. The world has stayed out of the church because they have more sense than the Christians. They can see through the stupidity. I was 11 years old and saw through the stupidity of the churches I was in. They talked all kind of things, but it didn't change nothing. Everything stayed. They didn't do any better than the sinner did. And I said, well, what is this? This God that loves them that don't do anything for them. I sort of had the idea, if you love somebody, you did something. Just, you know, but the church doesn't have that idea. The church has the idea that a loving God will kill you for some reason. You know, God took my kid. This is love in action. If I killed one of my kids, they'd lock me up. I always thought the God that I went to church about, they talked about as a kid, I always thought he needed locked up. Well, they'd tell us how bad the devil was, but every ugly thing that happened, God did it. God did it. You know, his perfect will. His perfect will says this, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's his perfect will. And he said, well, and kill you too. That wasn't on the scripture. Hallelujah. God is in the business of blessing people. We used the foundational scriptures when we started off on this teaching, because in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. See, things of and pertaining to the Spirit of God, God doesn't want the church ignorant. We need to know and understand about the flow of the Spirit. In verse 7 said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God's interest in manifestation of these gifts, they are by the Holy Spirit, and he says to each one. And so we look in the body of Christ, each one of us here today, we can't sit down and say, well, God don't operate through me at any gifts. He doesn't do anything like that. He might do it through you. No, it says to each one, severally as he wills. These manifestations are not tied to ministers, although ministers may have more demonstrations because they stand in front of people and minister. And one of our things to do is to teach. We don't want to teach just by words. If a teacher only teaches by words, we have an educational system like most of America. Everybody stays dumb. There got to be application. There must be demonstration of it. It doesn't become real. It doesn't, you know, manifest. The Spirit doesn't become something that's real till he manifests. You can read all about him, but if you ain't ever seen him manifest, you don't know nothing about him, really. All you have is information, which could be true or might not be. You know? Why would God put all this information about himself, about his Son, about the Holy Spirit in there, and he's not going to show it to us? The faith is just, believe it exists without never seeing it. That's not faith. Faith must have a manifestation. If it doesn't, it's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why? Because it brings it into manifestation. If our faith don't come to manifestation, it wasn't faith. It must come to manifestation. That's what proves that it's true. You know, I was in the church as a kid, they used to always talk about blind faith. Faith ain't blind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what's not seen. My faith sees the end result of something. Hallelujah. If I believe God and say, I believe I received my healing, if I'm in faith, I see my end result. That's why I believe I receive it, because I believe healing belongs to me. And I believe it's going to manifest itself and it's going to show itself. If it don't, I can know this, that faith, my faith didn't work. It didn't, what my thought was faith didn't work. People say, well, you never know. God may have a reason not to do it. Well, if he don't, then you can't be in faith. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know what the will of God is, you can't be in faith. If you don't know God wants you well, you can't get in faith. Don't bother praying healing stuff. It ain't going to work. That's not faith. Faith knows he's going to do it. Hallelujah. That's why you can believe you receive it. Jesus said you believe or receive it when you pray. He didn't say try to get God to do it. See if he might. See if he'll do anything. Let's believe him for it. He never told you to believe for a thing. He told you to believe you receive it. Believing for it means you ain't got it yet. You can't believe you receive it and you ain't got it. I'll tell you what, I may not see it with the eye, but when I'm done praying, I know it belongs to me and it will show up. It has to. Hallelujah. It's got to. I can say this truthfully. There's times that I've missed it in the areas of faith and I really wasn't in faith, but I'll tell you this. Every time in my Christian walk, I have operated in faith, it has worked. And yours is the same way. I hope you hit it good. There's loads of people don't hit it very often, so they're always unsure of faith. You've got to learn to know what faith is to operate it. The manifestation of these spirits, you've got to come to the point where you're convinced God wants to use you. God is not going to use you just because, you know, you're in the body of Christ. Well, if he wants to, he will. We already read it, he's will. So let's don't say if he wants to, he will. He wants to. So if he doesn't manifest through me, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, I know this. There's nothing wrong with God. So then, we have to look at Ed. What's wrong with Ed? If it ain't working, what's wrong with me? Oh, that's self-examination. Let's go preach something else. That's not easier. Let's preach about, you know, the people, the Presbyterians that don't believe or something. I don't know. Let's talk about them. Let's knock it over. See, it is the will of God to manifest. So therefore, the fact that it is, when I got born again, I've talked about this before in this teaching. When I got born again, I read these things and I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I just assumed that this was part of the package of being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. God manifests gifts through you. To me, I thought, well, then stuff's going to start happening through me. This will start happening through me. Most people don't think that way. Most people are waiting to see if God's going to do something. I know God will manifest through me. I have no doubt. A lot of people think it's strange to hear God talk to them. I think it's strange if you don't. Our God's not deaf and dumb. And if he don't talk to you, that bothers me. If God wouldn't talk to me, that'd bother me. Our God ain't deaf nor dumb. It is nor... What he says in his word's true. If he says he's going to manifest things, then he will. If I have my faith turned toward him and he don't, I ask God, what's wrong with you? Well, this I learn over time. Ain't nothing wrong with God. Never has been. He's always been willing to manifest himself. He's always on the willing side. You got to come down to that. When you read the scripture and the scripture tells you he's going to divide them several as he wills, he'll manifest them through people, then therefore God will manifest himself through me. And yet, it's what you have to do to yourself. You got to put those kind of things on your voice and not join the religious crowd who says, well, if it's his will, he'll do it. And if it's not his will, that is the good thing of unbelief. That is unbelief talking. He has already said in scripture what he's going to do, manifest to everyone as he will, as his will, as the gift he wants to manifest through the person. He didn't say, well, some people I'm going to do it and some I'm not. It's not written there. Only religion talks that stuff. Religion says that it makes you feel comfortable that God don't have to operate through you and you can still think you're all right. Now, if I made you feel uncomfortable about that, good. Because if you don't, if you're uncomfortable in the situation you're in, even if you're doing very well, if you don't have a higher something to shoot for, you won't move on. You'll stay, and this is what's going to happen to you. Over time, you will degress. No one stays at a point. If you just try to stay at a point, you won't. You'll start falling back. I watched that. How do you think a church world got in the condition it is today? Back in the 80s, the church world was a lot higher. Where are we at today? That's why all those people, they thought they arrived. They thought they arrived to something. And all they did was stayed with what they had and didn't move on to the glory that God wanted to reveal. They stayed at a babyhood faith level. They liked that babyhood faith level that was taught. They wanted that one. I just get this nice thing. But that becomes nothing but a selfish thing. It comes in a self-serving, selfish faith. It's all about what I can get a hold of and give me this and give me that. And I'm going to believe God for this and I'm going to believe God. But never really, people never used it to attain glory. So God's glory can be revealed. And what happened? The glory that we had move of God back then dissipated and left. And people are sitting around today wondering, well, I guess maybe God don't want to do this stuff anymore. They're sitting there relegated, you know, if anybody wants healing after the service, if you go come over to this corner, we don't want to have, you know, go to the back room if God wants to do something. We'll hide it back there. Why? They don't really believe God's going to move. That's why they do it. It's all false and lies. It ain't nothing but a bunch of lies. But they'll say those words to make people think that there's some kind of spirituality when there is none. They're so dead in the inside themselves, they don't believe God's going to move. Put you on the spot. It'll put you on the spot to say to somebody, God will do something. Well, what if I say it and he don't? See, we lost the thing of faith. I know God will demonstrate himself. I know he will. I know that he will. He said he would. Till we do something of faith. Our faith has to be the thing that goes first. We want God, you move first, then I'll believe. It's not how it works. Hallelujah. We start to act like God will do something. Hallelujah. Begin to act like he's going to do something. God's whole plan is to do something. Now we looked at from the book of Acts, one of the things we had looked at, excuse me, was the looking at the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and preached. Now, one of the things that we want to see, and I'm going to read this again because we're going to talk a little bit about this. In Acts, the second chapter, I want to read to you here because it says this. Peter stood up and said this in the second chapter, verse 17. It shall come to pass. And what happened was these people had asked him what was going on. They saw this manifestation where these people, they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They came and these people were talking in tongues. And they heard them in their own languages. And this was going on. Peter made this statement then. He said, it shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, says God. And this is from the prophet Joel. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Now, one of the things the Lord had me wanted to talk about this, and we went over this because this is the prophecy of Joel. Understand, Joel's prophecy was not fulfilled when Joel spoke it way back yonder. Joel's prophecy that he spoke concerning this had to do, came to pass on the day of Pentecost. The outpouring of the Spirit in the church. The outpouring of the Spirit. Number one, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have things, we know this from here. You're going to have tongues. You're going to have prophecy. You're going to have dreams. You're going to have visions. This is what these people saw in the outpouring of the Spirit. If somebody today has filled with the Spirit and those things they don't believe exist, they definitely don't have a church. Or a belief like the Bible says. The last day God pours out his... Look, when the Spirit's being poured out, there will be manifestations. Or you have no proof that the Spirit's being poured out. What proof is it? I've heard people tell me they're full of the Holy Ghost. Prove it. You can tell me anything you want. Full of the Holy Ghost has proof. Baptized in the Holy Ghost has proof. Glory to God. And the Holy Ghost wants to manifest proof. That's what the Spirit, that the move of the Spirit's about. It's about the proof that we're not just telling people something. We're not just going out here telling people. There must be proof of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I put my word in you, says the Lord. I've spoken to you and I've told you things. And I've revealed them. And you looked at them and said, oh, they are really good. But you've not walked in them. You've not lived in that place. You've not acted like it's true. You've been timid among the people that the Spirit needs demonstrated to, and you need to walk in them. For if you will step forward by faith, I will reveal my glory, and they will know that my presence is with you. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit said. Hallelujah. God wants people to know. In the book of Acts, the presence of God. In the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira fell dead by the judgment of God, and it said, what did it go on to say? Great fear fell upon them all, not even just the church, it was the people in the world. And it said they didn't join themselves to them anymore. In other words, people who played church said, oh my God, that God they talk about is real. The sinners own the Church of America today. They own it. They dominate it. They rule it. Their heads over the leadership of most of the denominations are sinners. People who aren't even born again. The warnings were made in the New Testament about what was going to happen in the end times. It talked about the wolves coming from the outside and the false teachers from the inside. And the church today has ignored it, and those people have been in for centuries into the church, and now they dominate much of it. The false teachers and the wolves. And people send them their money. And people promote, think they're doing good, because they don't know the difference between the wolf and God. Hallelujah. Good preaching it. We need to understand and know the difference. We're stepping into an area of glory. Hallelujah. We want God to manifest through us. That's our great desire, is to have Him manifest through us so people can see that our message is true. It's real. It's real. Jesus is alive. See, we sing about Jesus being alive, but Jesus is just singing about Him being alive. He wants to manifest He's alive. He desires to do that. He wants to manifest Himself that He is alive. Hallelujah. And one of the saddest things about it, many Christians need Jesus to manifest Himself because they're not sure. Got born again and not sure. Many Christians live in such uncertainty today. People who are born again have no confidence toward God. They don't have confidence toward God. And that's sad. Because you got to have more than talk. The words on the pages of my Bible show up in my life. That Jesus in the book talks to me. That Jesus in the book, He's given me visions and dreams. That Jesus is real. It's not something that's in the book. We find here, we read about this, manifestation. He said on his men servants and on His maid servants, He's going to pour out a spirit. We had talked about prophecy and what the Word says about prophesying. People need to know prophecy is something that needs to be a normal demonstration in the church. Not just something that we would have every once in a while, a minister would do it. Those things should be the norm. You know, praying under this, many times, I mean, since I've been born again and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, many times I have been praying and the spirit of prophecy comes on and I begin to pray under the spirit of prophecy. You want to get that to happen to you. Because when the anointing comes to pray, it's a whole lot different. You know, I've stood up in front of here in this church. I prayed things and the Lord reminded me about it. About a month ago, I was praying up here in front of the church and one of the services, and I was praying out loud. One of the things I prayed about, the things that were hidden in darkness were going to be brought to light. The anointing was on me when I prayed that. When I prayed that, I prayed out some things concerning our nation and things. And the Lord reminded me, He said, you see the stuff coming out of darkness? These people can't hide anymore. They say they're nice folks. They ain't nice no more. Now it's all coming out. See, when the anointing comes on you, and this is why, prophecy is not something just to say over people. The spirit of prophecy, you want it to operate through you. You know, I just spoke in tongues and interpretation. Really, that's a type of prophecy there. In fact, it's equal to prophecy if you'd speak in tongues and interpret. It's equal to prophecy. And the anointing comes and you stay things under the anointing. That's what you want to do. When that anointing comes, you just don't want to, most people, you can't have this prayer life where it's these written down things that you do. There's nothing the matter with having certain things you write down and pray, but you've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things, getting over and praying in other tongues. You get over praying in other tongues, you get over into something, and after a while you're praying out things. This morning for this service coming up, there was a direction, I got a sense to move, but I started praying here, I just got a sense to pray in tongues, and I just started praying in tongues, and boy, I could just tell, things are changing. Things ain't going the same direction now. We ain't moving the same way. God wants to reveal glory, and glory can't be revealed till we get stirred up and we want it. Not something we'd like to have, and if it shows up, we'll just, you know, do it. It's got to be something you're going to crave after. You're going to want it. You're going to have to want it. Want demonstrations. Not just say, I want them. You're going to have to go to God and say, God, I will not be happy if we don't. I don't, you know. I told the Lord many times over the years, if we're not going to have an outpouring of the Spirit in this last days, I want to go home and be with Jesus. I want to stay here and preach and do this, go through this nonsense. I don't want to sit here and blow wind and just talk. If there's not going to be a move of the Spirit, what's the point of us here? What are we doing? See, well, I believe in a life to come. Most people, all they got, most Christians, they just think this life is everything. I'm sorry, I've touched on the other side already and I'd much rather leave. Hallelujah. But we want to have demonstrations of the Spirit. One of the things that we see, you know, in the book of Numbers, the Lord spoke to Aaron and Miriam concerning Moses. One of the things he talked to us about, he spoke to Moses face to face. But the Lord said this concerning the prophet's ministry. He said in Numbers 12:6, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in visions and I speak to him in a dream. Visions and dreams are normal among the prophet's ministry. And so we look back in the Old Testament, we see it all the time. We see the ministry of the visions and dreams and things, the prophetic stuff that went on all through there. The great thing that changed with the New Testament, understand, God still operates in a prophet the same manner. That's one of the things that I know. I see a lot of things and I hear different things and stuff, and I've had visions and dreams and stuff that have to do with the office I stand in. I know that. But it is normal for the body of Christ. These things are normal because when we stepped into the Spirit-filled area under the Old Testament, only the prophet and the priest and the kings were anointed by God. The people weren't. They weren't. In the New Testament, it's changed. People tell you they got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you have the Holy Ghost and you have an anointing, the Bible says we have an anointing from the Holy One. We have an anointing from the Holy One. Well, if we have that, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. People didn't have that. That was, and listen to this. This is why people in the Old Testament, if they had a dream, they'd go to a prophet and ask him about it. You don't do that in the New Testament. You don't go and ask the prophet to interpret your vision. You don't do that in the New Testament. Why? Because we all have the Spirit. They did that. They didn't have the Spirit. They didn't know what was going on. Now, I know people who do that, have done that over the years and that stuff, and they would have their dreams or something. They'd go ask a so-called prophet to interpret them. I saw the mess that stuff got into, and oh, man, craziness. Also out here in dreams, I mean, there's Christians writing books. I don't know what kind of Christian you are. They're insane idiots. Writing books about interpreting your dreams. I'm going to tell you what. Go down to the bar and have a drink. Spend your money on something better than that trash. Drinking would be better than that trash. I was one night driving. It was late at night. And I was driving. I had a radio on at some station. People calling in and interpreting dreams. People calling in and say they were Christians trying to get their dreams interpreted. And I mean, they had an interpretation of every stupid thing you could think in the world. And I thought, what? How sick and how weird do you get? When I've had a dream, I can just say, when I've had a dream from God, I've known it. I didn't have to ask somebody if it was a dream from God. I mean, just because I have some weird dream thinking some weird things, Everybody has those, you know. 99% of dreams that I have, they're just whatever nonsense goes on. I sometimes wonder what goes on in our stupid brains up there. And that's what they are. But when I've had dreams that they were from God for a person, I knew it. I knew the dream was from God. I knew it specifically. Didn't have to go try to get somebody. Understand this about when you're dealing with the areas, whether it's prophecy or you're dealing in the areas of dreams. Many times, you will not know the interpretation of it till the thing comes to pass. You sit down. We read Joel's prophecy. Do you think Joel actually knew what that was, the outcome of that thing was going to be? It's announced on the day of Pentecost. Joel speaks that hundreds of years beforehand. The manifestation of it comes. We see in what it was talked about and what was going to... The Jews had no clue the Gentiles were going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It was going to pour out. They had no clue. They had no clue that that was going to go on. They had no clue. So the manifestation came along. Understand, Peter had a trance. He said he fell in a trance, and the Bible later calls it a vision. Peter has a vision. He is on a roof of a house. He's up there. He falls into a trance, and a sheet comes down with all kind of animals in it, and the Lord says, take and eat. When it went back up, you know what? He had a vision. Did he know what it meant? No. He didn't know what it was about. He said he wondered about it. What was this? What does it mean? Well, he found out after he went to follow the guys, the Lord said to him, went to Cornelius' house, and Gentiles got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. And you know what? He was surprised. Why did he know that what God was having doing was real? It was because of that vision. When he saw the manifestation of the vision, over in the vision, he said, I don't eat any unclean thing. The Gentile was considered an unclean thing. If he wouldn't have had such a supernatural thing take place, he probably wouldn't have followed what God wanted to take place. Visions and dreams many times don't happen because you're so brilliant. They happen because you're not. You need them! We act like these... I am so tired of the church preaching such false stuff. You've got to reach to this great epitome, then God will manifest himself to you. I was a baby Christian, born again, a little over 2 months, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and manifestations of the Spirit started operating through me. Because I just figured they would, because I was told that's what happened. These manifestations come because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, seems real to me. So what do you start getting around? So I started getting around and listening to ministers. Now, I taught gifts of the Spirit, not like I'm doing now. This is totally different. This is totally different, but in Bible school. So you really follow line upon line teaching is what I was doing. Taught on gifts of the Spirit for a number of years in Bible school. Taught on gifts of the Spirit. And one thing that always really astounded students was this, was most students are waiting to reach to a, most Christians are waiting to reach to some epitome they come to of great spiritual knowledge and, oh, I'm really a good Christian. Now God will manifest through me. And when I used to teach him, I used to say, now let's go over to Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians, and it starts out and Paul says, you guys come behind and no gift. I said, this church was so carnal, people were dropping dead because they weren't walking in love with each other. And they said they came behind and no gifts. I said, if you have to wait till you get spiritual to have the gifts, you don't need them. If you got spiritual without them, why would you need them? You need God to manifest in your life to grow up, folks. This is why we've had such little, really spiritual maturity in the last 20 years, because the Spirit has stopped moving in Christianity. They've closed the door on him. I'm going to tell you, Ed still needs manifestations of the Spirit so he can figure some things out. If you think you're that bright, you're already so messed up. God's got his hands full. If you have a need and you don't see yourself so bright, God has a good chance of maybe moving in you. We need the Holy Spirit to manifest God's glory for us. If he won't do it for you, what do you think he's going to do for somebody else? Wouldn't that get to you that he would do it for somebody else? He wouldn't do it through you. God wants to go out and manifest his glory to all these sinners, but he don't want to do it to you, and you're his kid. That's like the guy out here that's worth millions of dollars and he takes all his money and he gives it to charity and don't give none to his kids. Makes everybody else rich but his own kids. What would you do? He wouldn't be my dad no more. When he's in the home, I ain't visiting him. He can sit and whine all he wants. He did it. This is the God that's in the church today. This is the God that's preached in the church. He don't take care of his kids. God manifest. God wants to be real to you. He wants to be real to you. He wants to demonstrate himself to you and through you. He wants you to know it's real. Now, I will tell you this, I have never, in my Christian walk, I have never personally said to God, God, I want this gift to operate, or I've never prayed for a certain gift or manifestation. I have never prayed for specifically for a vision or a dream. I've never prayed about them and asking for them from that standpoint. But I've always believed that they would operate through me, that they would, these things would happen because they are the norm to the book. And this is the only place I have to go to faith on. And if you let churches and Christians tear those pages out of the book for you, shame on you. You don't let them tear them pages out. You let them tear them out and preach it wherever they want to, but don't you listen to it. I don't have any other place to what a church and what God wants to do other than what's written in the book. That's all I have. And if I turn it, narrow it down, I can't take the glory out of Christianity, or there is none. There is no Christianity without glory. We know this today. We have people so-called coming to Christ without changed lives. I'm going to tell you, glory changes lives. The new birth changes lives. And people who say they're saved and don't have changed lives, that's a lie. There's no manifestation of salvation. There could not have been any faith there. Faith has a manifestation of salvation. My words, I can go, and you see that. I mean, I can go over here and go to the baptism. People get saved. They have changed lives. They might not believe in the manifestation of the Spirit like I do, but if they really get born again, they got changed lives. Why? What you put faith in will produce, and if there's not something produced, there was no faith involved in it. It's not biblical. It is not biblical for faith not to work. The only thing the Bible tells us that we're waiting for, of all these manifestations and stuff, we are waiting for the new body. That's the only one we're, that's our hope looking to the future. All the rest of the stuff is now. It's now stuff. It's all now things. It's not out there in the future. It's right here now. I'm looking for the day I get the new body. That one's not here yet. But all the rest of it arrived. It came the day that the Holy Ghost was poured out at the book of Acts and the demonstrations of God to reveal to the world the glory that God had through the church. It was all there. The power of the new birth has already been given. It's not going to be shown someday down the line. It's here now. But see, it's not preached. If the glory isn't preached, we don't preach changed lives. We preach people, you just ask Jesus to come in your heart and, you know, whatever you live or do, you know. The Bible talks about, Jesus talked about counting the costs. He said, if a guy goes out here to build a tower, he said, you make sure you have the money to finish it. Because if you don't, people are going to laugh at you. He said, if a king's going to go to war, you make sure you go to war against that guy. You can fight him and beat him. Because if you don't, you better make a peace treaty. We need to learn to tell people, if you're coming to Jesus, Jesus told the disciples, go in the world and make disciples. He didn't say, go make believers. Make disciples. You need to let people know this. If they're not going to follow Jesus, don't bother accepting him. We don't preach that. That's why we don't have changed lives. People think, I'm just going to get this fire insurance. I do this. I'm going to go live my own life and I'm going to do my own thing. That's what they think they're going to do. Well, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, I can prove in New Testament that ain't true. There ain't no such thing as a backslider. What's backslid? What is a backslider? If I can do anything and get to heaven anyhow, well, then just do anything you want. If once you're saved, you're already saved. Every minister who believes that, if he don't preach that from his pulpit and tell people they can live ever like they want and they're still going to heaven, if he don't tell them that, he's a liar. He's a liar. If it's true, once you're saved, you're always saved, go live like you want. We ought to be telling, come and accept Jesus. God, you live like hell, do whatever you want, just go ahead. Once you accept Jesus, you're just okay. I can't find any scripture teaches that. You see, we got to come back to, you know, when the church leaves a pure foundation, there's nowhere for the Holy Spirit to manifest, because He ain't going to manifest in the dirt and the filth that's being taught. He's not going to manifest in the dirt and filth. He's not going to confirm the word preached when the word is filth, when the word is unholy, when it's unrighteous. It isn't a matter we do everything so right, but I tell you what, we better have the right message on our mouth, because the Holy Spirit cannot confirm, as it says in the books of Acts. They went out and preached the word everywhere, the Holy Spirit confirming the word with following signs. What do? He confirms the word. If the message is not preached properly, if the truth is not said, the Holy Ghost will not manifest. This is one of the reasons the Holy Spirit don't manifest in the church today. It's the unholy message. We have left holiness and righteousness. I know that I'm righteous by faith, but righteousness by faith leads to righteous living. People who don't live righteous are stench to God. Christians who don't live holy are a stench to God. I can back it with the Bible. We tell people they're all right. Oh, you're saved, you're okay. Yeah, you're all right. I ran into some guys. A guy was talking to one guy, Christian, supposedly Christian. I got another Christian I know asked this guy about, it's nobody here, so, you know, don't sit around wondering who this is. Asked this other individual about his brother, and he said about his brother's life was real messed up. He said, but my brother's getting straightened out now. And the guy said, yeah, they said, that's really good. Yeah, I was over to see him the other day, and I got there, and he had a bunch of vodka and stuff and tequila, and we were sitting and drinking and that stuff, and we got half wasted. Now, this is a guy, this is so-called Christian. Goes to a church in our valley here. This is the kind of stuff. I'm not talking some denominational church. And I'm standing there listening, and I thought, man, I had to bite my lip. Man, I just wanted to say, you, Scott. And I was really embarrassed about the other Christian because he wouldn't say a thing to him about it. But he talked about then some other guys showed up, and they had some booze, and he bawled over. You know, the Bible tells this, if a guy is a drunkard and getting drunk, number one, getting drunk is a sin. It's a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. It ain't a sin under the law. It's a sin. We don't get drunk. Drunkenness is something we don't do. It's a sin. And the Bible says if you have a brother and he's a drunkard, don't eat as much as eat with him. I'll tell you what, when I listened to that God talk, I didn't fellowship with him the rest of the time we were there at that thing. I stayed away from him. I am not fellowshipping with people like that. Paul said, I didn't tell you to stay away from the people in the world do those things. What's going to affect your life the most is the filth in the church. Filthy Christians are going to have more of an effect on you than anything else in your life. The filth of the world. Everybody's worried about staying away from the world. You got to stay away from the filthy Christians. That's who the devil pushes into the church and puts in. He puts them in the church and he puts them in there with their filth to turn around and contaminate. Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He brings that trash in, and the church don't preach the truth that drives it out. It can only be driven out by preaching the truth. Well, once you're saved, you're always saved. It'd be nice if we live it. Be nice if we live this stuff. See, we need to understand it. We want the glory of God. I do. But folks, you have to learn how to protect yourself. If you don't learn how to protect yourself, if you don't know how to take care of you, if you accept all the junk that comes along, I'm not worried about baby Christians. I'm worried about the people who've been around a long time and they still living like hell. And they can go sit in churches and they can live like hell and the ministers will help them because they won't touch things because, you know, we got to have a crowd and feel good and all this kind of stuff and you can have whatever you want. I'm not looking for a crowd so I can feel good. I'm the flagman in the road, remember? I'm the guy trying to slow people down here in the end, not speed it up. Because I'm going to tell you, there's Christians in grave danger. Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, said, many of my people are not going to be ready for me at my coming. If once you're saved, you're already saved, then they have to be ready. Oh, everybody's ready that ever got saved. Gee, just Jesus don't think that. Huh. How about that? Jesus don't think it. My job in the church world is to get whoever comes here that'll listen, get them ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's my job. That when you stand before Jesus, you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Man, come on in to what you inherited. Come on in. We've been waiting for you. We've been getting things ready for you. Glory to God. That's what you think of 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Do you think Jesus has been working on Ed's house for 2,000 years? I mean, that must be a knockout. Woo! 2,000 years he's been getting it ready for us. What it must be, the glory that's in it. And people, the church is just dragging themselves to stay here in the filth and in the dirt and live in it and act like it's all right. When Jesus has been working for 2,000 years, my God, just making a place for us. Glory! Hallelujah! Man, I tell you what, I want to have more glory than the house. Hallelujah. Doesn't preach me happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I guess you can tell I'm not a sweet preacher. I'm just, you know. But we're not saying, look, I'm not saying things, but I tell you, there must be a stirring. And I mean, for me, I must have a stirring in me. And it's got to get stronger. It's got to get stronger. See, I believe we can lead the way to some things in the Spirit. There's things that I can voice and say here that will affect this community, and I am saying, and it has effect in the spiritual realm of this community. Because I'm not preaching just to people. There's demons who are listening. Demons hear the message. Demons know where Ed stands. Demons know this. Jesus I know, Paul I know, and I know Ed too. We're speaking words, and things have to be spoken. Truth must be spoken out or nothing ever changes. The truth got to be said. We want change. We want something to happen. But preaching just mushy stuff and God loves everybody. Yes, He does. And everybody that's in hell, He loved them. But they're there nonetheless. I just heard a story. A guy who was, I guess he saves all kinds of stories and reads all kinds of stories about people who died and went to hell. And he talks about, he has hundreds of these stories that, you know, that he's read of people that they verified, you know, things, people being operated on the operating table, they died for a period of time. And one is really interesting because he said this. There was a guy who died and went to hell. And this guy that died and went to hell, I don't know if you remember, I can't remember his first name as the minister, the Presbyterian minister used to preach the gospel, Kennedy, yeah, down in Florida, yeah, James Kennedy. James Kennedy went to visit this man. He heard about the incident. He wanted to talk to the man. So he went to visit the guy, and he sat down and talked with this man, and he wanted to talk to him about his visitation to hell. He went to hell. And the guy explained to him, yeah. The guy said, the suffering is in hell is incredible. You just can't believe the suffering. Now, this guy was in his 70s. This happened to him. And Kennedy said, well, let me ask you this. He said, one time, when I was in college, he said, I had put a pan on a little stove thing we had there, and I put a pan on it, and he said, I turned it on, and he had some water in it, but he said, I forgot all about it, and he said, the water boiled out. He said, when I came over to it, he said, the pan was red hot. He said, stupidly, I grabbed the handle to get it off, and he said, oh, my words, it burnt my hand. And he said about the pain from that. And then he said this to the guy. And the guy said, talked about when he was young, he said he got caught on fire. He pulled the covers back and showed him his one leg was all, like he said, it was just the scars from just being burnt. His kid, his younger man. And this is what this guy said to Kennedy. Kennedy said, what would you compare the torment in hell to? He said, oh, it was 1,000 times worse than that. See, I heard a next-door neighbor who committed suicide, and I heard on a Christmas Eve it was, and I asked God, because we were trying to find him. He was gone, and his girlfriend was looking for him and things, and nobody could know where he was at, where he was. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, where's Bob at? Just as clear, a voice said, Bob's in hell. And then I heard a cry of agony. I've never heard nothing like that in my life before. I mean, it literally scared, and I'm not being vulgar, it scared the hell out of me. His agony and his voice, and I knew it was Bob. It was Bob's voice. The agony. See, hell's a real place that's not preached in the church today. The true message to God, we preach a part of a message and call it gospel. You can't take hell out of the gospel, or you don't need the gospel. Everybody's all right if there's no hell. Everybody's okay. And that's what they preach today. Everybody's all right. God loves everybody. So it's all going to turn out okay. Kenneth E. Hagin at 15 years old died and went to hell. 15 years old. Most 15-year-olds in the church world today never would have a thought they'd ever end up in hell. And their parents will see to it they never get a thought that that could ever happen. He was 15 years old. When I was 9 years old, we talked about this before, when I was 9 years old, I knew when I stepped into sin in my life, and I knew when I got separated from God, and I knew when I was 9 years old, if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. 9 years old. We have these nice little cushy little children's ministries that make kids, we want to teach kids God's good, but we want to teach them the fear of some things that they don't want to mess with. We want to take the real stories of the Bible and show them what happens to the ungodly and what happens to the godly. When you leave it out, they grow up with this warped side that God is all this big sweet thing. And then they go live in hell. We wonder why. You never told them the other side of the story. They don't know it. They don't know it. We want to teach them God's good and why you stay on this side. You don't get over there. You know, we'll say, stay away from drugs so you live a good life. But then live like hell and go to hell. Dear Lord. Might as well take the drugs while you're here and have a little fun. Because you ain't going to have no fun on the other side. See, we need to do that. We need to come back to the church world. Preaches again. Because if holiness doesn't come back, power's going to wane in people. One of the things that I understand about the holiness of God. God is holy. And because of his holiness, he wants to reveal holiness. He wants to reveal glory. It's what he is. It isn't something he has. God is holy. He don't have holiness. He is. He is holy. It's what he is. See, if I don't know holiness, there's a big chunk of God I don't know. God don't have, from the standpoint we took a righteousness, he is righteous. He passes on to us his nature. His nature is righteous. It's not like, well, I got this certain gift within me I'm going to give to you. The gift of righteousness comes to us, is talking about a gift, but really what it is the nature of God that caused you and I through the Holy Spirit to be born again. And now that's our nature. Righteousness is our nature. To live unrighteous is to live outside the nature of the new birth. You don't want to ever live out, to live an unholy life is to live outside of what you really are. You are holy. The Lord spoke to me back years ago and said to me, most of my people live a lie. And I thought, what do you mean? He said, if you told them they were liars, they'd get mad out of you. But he said, most of them live a lie. Well, I said, what do you mean, Lord? They're living a lie. He said, because their life does not match up to what my word says they are. They don't live up to the standard that the word says they are. The word calls them blessed. The word calls you holy. The word calls us righteous. But people live unrighteous. They live unholy. And they live like they're not blessed. He said, that's a lie. He said, we put before the world a lie. And I thought, dear Lord, he must be talking to me. You know, I'm glad he said those things to me because I sat down and said, I don't want to lie to people. I don't want my life to be a lie. See, when some guy lives like hell and calls himself a Christian, he's lying about Jesus. He's portraying to people that you can be unholy, unrighteous, and you can still be hooked up to God. That's a lie. This is what the New Testament says. Without holiness, you won't see God. I didn't write that. So don't get mad at me about that. I didn't write it. If you don't holiness, you won't see God. That's New Testament. Well, I wonder how that fits with once saved, always saved. You've got to figure that one out. We'll have to do a special study on that. Hallelujah. Folks, we're going somewhere. We took a step today. And it's a step into the glory. And the step into the glory is the step into righteousness and holiness, where it is something manifest through us in our lives, not something just talked about. It's what we are in our lives. There's nothing more that will rob your faith is an unholy or unrighteous life. You will not have confidence toward God in your faith. Many Christians are believing the right things, but they can't produce it because their conscience bothers them before God. They know they're not living right. If you don't have the Bible said New Testament, and if you have confidence before Him, He said, then you can ask anything. If you have confidence. See, you can't live in sin and have confidence toward God. You can't live in sin and approach God boldly. You can't come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace with, I can live like I want. Your confidence. I'm going to tell you in the natural. I could never go before my parents when I knew I'd done a bunch wrong and really be bold around my parents. Other people, it's the same way. You can't come, why? You can't have confidence around people, confidence about asking things, while on the other side you're taking them across. You never have the confidence in that. We need to understand our faith gets affected. Now, many Christians have the problem is they have not been taught right of who they are and what they are. So they don't have confidence. It's like when I was a kid growing up, God really don't need you. Boy, that's a confidence builder in faith. God doesn't really need me. Is He really going to respond to me in prayer? He don't really need me. See, that ripped the confidence right out of you. Ripped the confidence out of you, you get sick. And, well, God may not want to heal you. See, if that's what's preached to you, what happens to you? What's your confidence toward God? Can you have great confidence toward God? You're told, well, maybe He doesn't want to. We really have a dilemma in the church, and it can only be fixed by the purity of the Word preached. The purity of the Word. In the 1980s, the move of God that I stepped into, there was a much purer gospel. Much purer than it's coming across today. And you know what? It inspired people to faith, and we had manifestations of the Spirit, and they were through people that weren't some spiritual giants, but they believed God was great and He would show up, and God showed up. Hallelujah. They had confidence toward Him. You can't be in disobedience and have confidence toward God. You can't know that you're not doing right and have confidence toward God. Your faith level is what's going to determine whether how far you can go. Your faith level, because if you let those things, it's going to eat at your faith. You won't have confidence before Him. You will ask, not really believing, I know things ain't right. Maybe He won't want to do this for me because I did this. And then you start into all that. See, that's why this knucklehead over there in Singapore started all this stuff. You don't have to repent. We don't need to ask God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you of everything. This I can tell you for a fact. And the Lord told me. He preaches that because He lives in sin. And He's trying to make Himself feel good that it's okay. I even know what sin He's involved in. He told me. He'll have to tell you, I ain't. So you aren't going to preach a lax Christianity without going further into sin. That will happen. If you preach a more unholiness, you're going to start living a more unholy life. That's the way it works. You're going to follow your pattern, you said. You convince yourself okay to go doing stuff and you shouldn't be doing. You're going to follow. Folks, it's a truth. Glory to God, it's a truth. I'm not preaching something that's weird and strange. In the natural, we believe these principles. But when it comes over to the church and Christianity, we turn around and change how laws operate and work. No, they don't change. Bad seed produces bad stuff. It don't change. It's exactly the same. That's why the pure of the seed, that's why the Word is the incorruptible seed. Think about that. It's incorruptible. When you believe what the Word really says, that seed operated in faith is incorruptible. It will have to produce what was said. Now you go over to the side of corruptible seed, always produces stuff you didn't want. You wanted the good, but there's a thistles growing up over here. There's stuff. There's a plant that grew up that isn't really hardy and isn't really good. It won't withstand what you need. See, that's why you want it. We want to come back. Come back to the simplicity of the Word of God. Come back to its truth. Come back to the holiness of God. Come back identifying yourself as being holy. You were born of God, holy and righteous. To live in another manner is really degrading to you. You're holy. You're righteous. It's degrading to live another life. It's degrading to us. See, we need to come. You know, we're too much over in the natural of things. The church identifies more with the world than they do with God. I want to tell you, the world will be reached when the church identifies themselves with Christ instead of the world. My identity is in Him. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like the sinner. I have a completely different nature. It was given to me by God. They say, well, we all put our pants on the same way. Well, we may all put our pants on the same way, but this boy don't believe nor live in the same manner or the same way. My way of life is different. I have the nature of God in me, was given through the new birth. I am not of this world. The Bible says so. The people who say put the pants on, what they're saying is, I'm just part of the world and just like it. I'm sorry, I read the Bible and I'm not of this world. I'm a passing through. This ain't my home. The New Jerusalem is my home. I'll stand for America while I'm here, but this is just a passing through. My citizenship is above. And when this country moves away from what the citizenship of heaven teaches and goes, why, I stick with heaven and I don't follow what other junk and trash is being taught and said. And in the church world, they go talk their trash and their junk. I'm sorry. I'm sticking to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's got a big wall around it too. And everybody ain't getting in, and God's going to make sure of that. God's the first wall builder. Hallelujah. I think Trump got a hold of heaven. You have all these devilish people not wanting to build. And I'm going to tell you, they're devilish. They're evil. They don't care about the people of this nation. Bible says God set the boundary of the nations. People who don't want boundaries on nation are exactly opposed against the Bible and against God's plan for man. I'm meddling into everything today. And I'm going to tell you, some purity needs to come back. The Word is not being preached. The Word is not being said. Men's ideas, and it's only men's ideas. It's not God's ideas. If anything, the church cannot help this nation till it takes on the mind of God. It right now, as a whole, the church is one of the greatest detriments to this nation because of their perverted gospel. The perverted gospel that doesn't lead people to living better, living worse. I mean, when the largest church in America's pastor said, my best friends are homosexuals. Best friends? Oh, man, a little bit different what the Bible said. Well, I can understand, because I tell you what, from what I hear him talk, I wonder if he's saved at all. I don't know. He calls himself a Christian. Everybody says he has a big, you know, church. Everybody, well, that, no, it must be good. It's big. It's big. Well, my words, he's really doing something. It's big. Well, I tell you, the Muslims are bigger than his is. So they must really be right. We're stepping into glory, folks. We're stepping into glory. We're stepping into a place, and Lord God has, he's just dealt with me. If we don't step into some things, we can't carry other people into something. Somebody has to step into it. Somebody's got to say it. Somebody has to do it. We can't sit. You're not going to sit back and wait for the big names to do it. They're not. They're not going to do it. They're not going to go. There's not many going to go on the airs on TV. I'll tell you, there's some good guys that are really good that are on YouTube, man. They'll say some things on there. and it's the truth. But people don't want to hear it. And it's truth to the Bible. And it scares people. But somebody's got to stop down. Hell's got to be preached. There is one. I got saved, the Bible says, from the wrath of God. I didn't get saved from the wrath of the devil. I got saved from the wrath of God. The reason we get people born again is they're going to have to face the rest of their eternity is going to be faced with the wrath of God being poured out on them in the lake of fire. That's God's judgment. But I thought he loved everybody. If God doesn't judge, he does not love. If God gives the guy who is evil the same reward as the guy that's good, he's as evil or more evil than the evil guy. We accept Jesus Christ so we get out from under the weight of the judgment of God that's coming to this earth. You and I don't have to face that. We're not going to face the wrath of God. God's judgment on the sinner is his wrath. There's one thing as he judges the Christian, that isn't the wrath of God. But the world is going to face the wrath of God. I'll tell you what, I don't think we can imagine how bad that wrath is going to be. You know what wrath is? The word wrath means uncontrolled anger. I can't imagine God, uncontrolled anger. I don't think I want to be on the other side of that one. I don't want to be there. But this is what people are facing out here, but they've been lied to and told, you're not, you're okay. I was telling that story, and I want to go back to it again. That guy who died went to hell. Pastor Kennedy talked to that man and wanted to lead him to Christ. He said, well, then you ought to be ready to accept. And this is what the guy told him. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my life right. I don't want to go there. But he said, I have some things I want to do first. He died before he made the decision. I don't think we can imagine. You sit there and think, well, how could it? People get themselves so locked over in the areas of sin. That's why they used to say this all the time to us, where as a Rhema, they used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what sin does. It blinds people. Hell is a real place, and when it becomes real, I've often thought about, you know, so many times I would pray for President Obama. And I would always pray from the standpoint of him, because it breaks my heart. The man's leading his whole family off into hell. I don't care how bad a person is, I don't want to see him go to hell. If it don't bother you that somebody's going to hell, it's because you have no clue what hell's like. You don't have a clue. You want to see people in hell. You know, I realize you got to punish wicked, but I'll tell you what, I just can't imagine. If hell is that bad, what's it going to be when hell is taken and put into the lake of fire? Final judgment. What's it going to be like? I don't know. I don't even want to study to find out. Hell seems bad enough to me to talk about. But it's a place that we're not going. You thank God. You maybe don't think you have much to thank God for. Well, you thank God every day, you ain't going to hell. I believe in these last days, we need more Christians with visitations of hell. So it becomes real. Hell's a real thing. It's a real place. We want it to because, folks, that's what we've been delivered from. It's part of our gospel. That man, that's what sin leads person to spend eternity. That's where the end of it is. Think about that. That's where the end of it is. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus Christ did all that he did so man doesn't have to face the wrath of God. My, what a Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. It'll help you love Jesus. I think this is where the Ephesian church missed it. Said they lost their first love. Well, your first love ought to be Jesus. I think people forget to what he saved them from. The church world has sure moved away from that, and people lose their gratitude to salvation. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus died on that cross, he went down to hell and paid the punishment for every human being. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ didn't spend eternity in hell, but he had the punishment of an eternity put on him in 3 days. In 3 days. he had the punishment of eternity, of the wrath of God. It wasn't the devil down there tormenting him. It was the wrath of God that you and I deserved, that was ours. And God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ of all the punishment of eternity for all humanity in 3 days. My mind can't comprehend that. But I'll tell you what, it makes me love him. My God, he did for me what I could have never done, and he did for humanity. What a God. If he would have went and just took the sin of Ed for eternity, the 3 days would have been something else. But to do it for all humanity. And the Bible said he did it with joy. What a Savior! What a Jesus! Woo! His love for humanity. This is why God will not tolerate people to reject him. He will not tolerate it for people to reject him. They can't reject him and go to heaven. He will not tolerate it because of what Jesus, the price that was paid. We think that beating and the cross and all that was something. The suffering started when he went into the pit of hell. That's the real suffering. Hallelujah. And you and I stand here today because of his wonderful deed. You and I have the glories of heaven to look to for eternity. To walking and living with God for eternity. When there's a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven and come down and sit on the earth, and God is going to come and live with men. Oh my God. That's our destiny. That's what God did because of Jesus Christ. That's your reward. And God in his simplicity said, all you have to do is believe on him. That's what you, him. Now do you think of people turn around and just do a nice little confession? It's about believing on him. It's about believing on him. People don't even know what he did to believe him on him for. Because it's not preached. We have this nice little whitewashed Easter. Everything gets whitewashed in the church. We make it pretty. We put a good, nice guy on a cross with a nice little wrap around him, you know, and that stuff. He was up there beaten to a pulp. The Bible says that you couldn't even recognize him. Got this nice little cute stuff and a little cute gold crosses and stuff like that. The Bible says a cross is a place of sin and shame. Sanitized Christianity that has left the truth and has stopped the glory of God. I tell you, the glory of God is back. The glory of God is back. The glory of God is back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because we're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the truth, and the glory is going to set people free. It's not going to hurt them to hear the truth. It's not going to, it might upset some, but nobody's going to get redeemed. People aren't going to get changed lives without the truth being preached, without being told the truth, what they need redeemed from, what they need to be set free from. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so you could have a better marriage or a better this. It's to keep you out of the wrath of God. That's number one. Dear Lord, if that's all he ever did for Ed, Ed ain't got a thing to complain about in this life. I don't care if he would never promise another thing in the Bible. The fact that I am not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. 1,000 times, just like hell, 1,000 times worse than being burnt alive. But it never stops there. It never stops. It never stops. Hallelujah. And you know what you and I have? We have an eternity of glory, the peace and the joy of God. Living in the glory of God. Living in a new body that's like Jesus Christ's body. That's what you backslidden buzzards got. Hallelujah. You accepted Jesus and that's what he did for you. Glory to God. My, is he something? Is he rich? Is he what? What a God of glory. Father, I want to thank you this morning. Lord God, I pray. Lord, the revelation of these things is not to hurt anyone. But Lord God, Lord, your attempt today is to reveal what a God we got, how much he loves us, what you want to do in us and through us. You're something else. Hallelujah. God, you are so patient and kind. Lord, if it was in the hands of men, we would have gave and threw our arms up a long time ago and say, Lord Jesus, come take us, whatever, send all the rest of them up to hell. What the, you know, who cares? But Lord God, your mercy and your kindness, you have been so long-suffering. Lord, in our nation where the gospel has been preached so many times over the centuries, and now we have generations today that hardly ever hear the gospel preached anymore. Lord God, by a church it says they preach it. And Father God, your mercy is going to reach out to this generation, this last generation in the earth. You're going to reach out to them. You're not going to let them go by without ever hearing the truth. Father, many of them, the generation before who heard it, Lord God, forgive us for not preaching it. Forgiving us, Lord God, for just wanting to have blessing and not preaching truth to people. Lord God, of just blessing our own lives and not blessing the world. And Lord God, I want to thank you that the revelation of these things become real to us of the glory that you have put in the church and who the church of Jesus Christ is. Lord God, that in the church holiness and righteousness would come back again, Lord God. Lord God, it would be the key mark of the church. Hallelujah. That they're not like the rest of the world. That they live holy. They live righteous. Hallelujah. They walk before God. That the words would go out. Hallelujah. Among people that they know God. Hallelujah. Lord, we want that voice back again. That they look at the church and say, they know God. And I want to thank you, Lord. You said this morning, we're going in. We're stepping in to another glory. Lord God, we're not stepping into something bad. Lord God, you spoke to us directly today. You spoke to us, Lord God, specifically today. Lord God, it will lead us to glory. It will lead us to glory. It's not putting us down. It's taking us up. Lord God, we hunger for truth. Our desire is for truth. Lord God, we don't want the shaded anymore. We don't want the things that a little bit of looking good, and but we can have this. Lord God, Lord, we want all of that incorruptible seed. We want it all spoken to us. We want to be able to believe all that it says. Hallelujah. Father, because we want to bring that incorruptible word into path and into light in these last days, that men see God. Hallelujah. That men see God. That men see God. Hallelujah. That God becomes real again. Lord of God, across this land and this nation, that God becomes real again. Hallelujah. Not hidden in pages of a book, but in demonstration and in manifestation. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I want to thank you. You have made us a wonderful covenant. A covenant with fully with the blessing of heaven in the covenant. All the wonderful things that are in our covenant. Lord God, in our covenant says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus. So all that God has promised, hallelujah, all that God has said and all that God would do is, Lord God, is for us and belongs to us in the name of Jesus. Not because we have done anything great. It's because he has done so much, such a great thing and a marvelous thing. And Lord God, we have just responded by faith and he has changed us. Hallelujah. He has brought glory to us. And Father God, Lord, it would be a sin. It would be a sin for us to not to step into the glory. It would be a sin for us to not take a hold of the promises that were laid before us. Lord God, to let those things, the wonders of God lay aside, it'd be a sin for us to do that. For our wonderful Lord suffered with such great punishment, our punishment, so we could walk in glory. And Lord God, we take a hold of that glory here today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, not by our wills and our thoughts and what we are. It's by our faith in him. As Lord God, it's his will that was put into us. It's by his great wisdom that came to us, his wonderful knowledge that came to us, Lord God, that caused us to stand. And we thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for faith comes by hearing. Lord, we wouldn't even have faith had you not brought the Word to us, but you brought it to us, and we stand in faith given to us by our great Redeemer who took our punishment, then gave us faith, hallelujah, to respond to Him. And so, Lord God, we take it and respond to You today, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, You will be glorified in this church. You will be magnified. You are the head of the church, hallelujah, and there is no other. Hallelujah. We thank You. There is salvation in no other name. Hallelujah. Only salvation by Jesus Christ alone. Jesus, we declare You Lord. Anybody says any different, they are liars, Lord God. We will not join ourselves with liars who say there is another way to salvation, that, oh, there's many ways. And Lord God, they are all liars. There is only one, Jesus Christ. He is the one who suffered. He's the one who paid the punishment. He is Lord of all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, it's wonderful to follow You. What a master. What a master You are. What a glorious, good master You are. Hallelujah. There's none like You. There is none like You. Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. None, 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 none. Ha, ha. yes, yes, bring that to me. Bring that to me. yes, yes. oh, there's a shaking in these last days. Much is being shaken up. Some being shaken to destruction, but many are being shaken today to brought into line. My shaking is bringing things into line on many who have stood aside, but now see. Now see, and light has come, and you have seen the light come. You have seen it, and you've walked in it, and now you hunger for it, and now you want it. And you will not be disappointed, because I'm bringing you over. Your eyes shall see things that it has not seen before. You will hear things that have not been spoken before. Because in these last days, the glory that shall be poured out will be far greater than the former glory. And that glory shall reveal things. Yes? And you will walk in places of the Spirit that you only dreamed of, that you thought in the past, oh, would it be or could it be this way? And the Lord says to you, it will be far greater than your mind has ever thought. It will be greater. Yes. And your longing will turn into an addiction, where to walk in the glory of God will be something that you will become overwhelmed to crave. And you will lay many things aside and put many things aside that seem to hinder you in the past, but they will not hinder you in this day and time. For My Spirit shall move, and you shall be drawn in and pulled in, and My glory will come upon you. Yes, and you'll say, I don't even want that other thing. Oh, it was good. It was fine. But oh, the glory. I want the glory. I want the glory. And you shall have the glory. And it shall rest upon you in these days and in the hours to come, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Jesus, thank You, my Father. Oh, Father, You're so good. You're so good. You're so good and so kind. So good to us. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your mighty power working in us. It's Your mighty power that's going to bring this stuff to pass. We're just on the boat with You. We're just on the boat with You. Hallelujah. And Father God, You're going to take us to the destination of our dreams. You're taking us to the destination of our dreams, of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, heaven is just going to be a short step from the glory that you'll walk in these last days. Heaven will be a short step. Heaven's going to be a very short step, because you're going to walk in places of glory that is going to be so heavenly. There's going to be days of heaven in the earth in these last days for My people who have sought Me out. Hallelujah. There will be days of heaven in the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in this atmosphere, it's the easiest thing to get healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just respond to it. Just respond. If you need anything in your body, just respond to it this morning. Believe you receive it. It's yours. It belongs to you. Jesus Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He's not going to take them. He did. He already, just as He took your sin, He took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses. Just as He did that, hallelujah. Today you can say, you know, that's mine. That belongs to me. I just received my healing here today in the name of Jesus. It's mine. I believe I have it. I got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. 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 Or whatever it is, whatever you might be dealing with, it is so easy to reach out and receive. Hallelujah. Because we're in an atmosphere. There's a hunger. There's a drawing here. People want something from God, and God is the great giver. He's the great giver. He's not the great holder backer. He's not trying to hold things from us. He is working diligently to deliver things to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You might be facing some things that you need some help. You know, it's one of the things in 1 John, it says about, you know, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is so easy to confess our sin. Now, the Scripture does tell us we come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. Now, you might not have to come. You don't need mercy. Maybe you ain't done anything. You ain't living in sin. You ain't doing stuff. But you can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace to help. If you need the grace of God to help you, hallelujah. One of the things, and let me say, I wasn't going to bring this up, but the Lord was dealing with me this week about it, about angelic presence. We're going to see more and more of that in these days. You look in the Bible, and the more there was the move of God, in whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, there was manifestations of angels. That is a norm. We're going to see more and more manifestations. One of the things that is helpful is because in people becomes real to people. Now, I'm just going to tell you, there's loads of angels here today. It's number one. There's an angel assigned to each one of you. So we know just from that standpoint, as many as we are here, there are angels in this room. They're here. I say, well, I can't see them. It don't matter. The Bible said so. And there's more than that. Now, we have great faith in the presence of demons and their effect. But we hardly ever yield to the presence of the angels and their effect on earth. Your angels want to help you. They want to do things for you. They want to do them. You need to acknowledge angelic presence. You need to acknowledge the fact that they're here with you. You know, we talk about a guardian angels, and they always show a little baby as a guardian angel, you know. I'm going to tell you what, I need it today more than I needed it when I was a baby. Dear God. But we have angels around us, and those angels, do you believe an angel could give more influence than the devil? People say, yeah, well, I want the church to start acting like it's true. You can say what you believe, but your actions. Start acting in line with angelic presence. Their ministering spirit sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. To minister for us. Angels don't do anything for us unless we set them forth. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever we loose. Most people's angels are bound. They've bound them, but not ever loosen them. They don't ever have them to do nothing. You know, we know as you talk about binding the devil, we ought to loose a few angels. Let my angel around me, my angel will protect me. My angels will look after me. My angels will bring influence for me. My angels can influence other people. See, we need to get over into these areas where we come back. You know, there's a lot of flaky stuff said about angels out here that's weird. I'm talking about biblically, the Bible. But be conscious of angelic presence. Be conscious of angelic presence. Whether you see it or not, that doesn't become real because you saw it or not. The Bible teaches it. The angels, the presence of the angels. We find that God sent angels to bring messages to people in the New Testament. People say, well, why didn't, you know, Kenneth Hagin had the thing where an angel, Jesus appeared to him, and with Jesus was an angel. And Jesus was talking to him about something and telling him some things. And every time he looked at this angel, he said it seemed like he wanted to talk. And finally, Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, that angel, what's he here for? And Jesus looked at him and says, he has a message for you from the throne of God. And Kenneth Hagin said, I stuck my foot in my mouth and I said to Jesus, well, why don't you just tell me? And Jesus said, because he was sent to bring the message from the throne of God. See, we get over in this nice little clean Christianity that has this certain ways how things move. God can speak to you and send an angel to come and talk to you and give you a message. It's in the New Testament. It happened. It took place. And God can do those things. In other words, the influence of angels. But see, if we don't have faith about angels around us, we don't respond to them, then we're not using any faith concerning them, so they don't manifest. They don't manifest, because God can make a manifest. It's when you start walking in the reality that they're real, that they're true, that you're an angel. What do you think that God gave us an angel around with it? In fact, Kenneth Hagin, before he went home with the Lord the last couple of years, there's these two angels that followed him around everywhere. He used to talk to him. He said, these angels would talk to me all the time. See, that isn't surprising. Lots of times when people getting over the point of leaving this earth, going to die, angels start talking to them. Because when you die and leave this earth, you don't just float off into space somewhere. Angels come and take you off to heaven. God don't put you on a bus, give you a ticket on a bus and send you off and, you know, so you get down there and get the Greyhound and go down to heaven. God takes you first class, you know. Got all these angels, and most people think they're just, you know, sitting around up there, they're up around the throne of God going, praise him, praise him. Yeah. Angels were put for a purpose. And the ones operating here on the earth are for our purpose. They're for our purpose. Hallelujah. Good preaching, folks. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So start walking in light of these things. Glory will start being revealed. Glory will start being revealed. It don't surprise me things that people will see and hear in these last days. It don't surprise me. I know we have a turn-up thing because I tell you, just the way God deals with me and talks with me, there's something, man, there's things been turned up. There's things that are happening. Things have been turned up. Hallelujah. And we ain't even that near the peak of it. And if it's like this before the peak, what's it going to turn into? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, thank you today. Father, as we leave this place, and Lord God, during this time and season, Father God, I pray, Lord God, especially, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I pray that the true revelation of your glory in this virgin birth of the Messiah, that God came and put a body on and lived with man. Lord God, Lord, that it falls upon us not as something we heard before, but Lord God, such a reality of our redemption. Hallelujah. Father, we want our hearts and our souls gripped with this truth of your plan for the redemption of mankind. How blessed it is. How wonderful and glorious it is. And Father, we're going to live and walk this week. This week we're going to walk and live this knowledge. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to us and show things to us this week. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the truth that we have in us become quickened and made alive to us again. Of not things that we heard in the past, Lord God, but a refreshing, Lord God, looking to the future. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.